Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. It's my pleasure. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. You've been listening already. Thank you especially for that. John Deeney is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. John is the president of Management Performance Network. He's the author of 103 Tips for Better Hiring. He leads the number one alternative board organization, which is a peer group leadership organization, the number one franchise in the nation, which is... In the San Antonio area, he writes and speaks. In addition to his work directly with people, with business owners like you and me, he writes and speaks on very important topics, and he's got some really good stuff for us today. John Deeney, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thanks, Jim. It's great to be back. Happy New Year.
It's always a pleasure to have you back, John. Well, Happy New Year to you. Let's have a good 2009 together. What do you think?
I think that's immensely possible for all small business owners.
I do have one thing, and I've been running this by every Brain Trust member that's been on pretty much to ask this question. You see my stuff. You see the stuff that I write.
Sure.
You've heard what I've said probably, but I want to ask you, I wanted to make sure in the beginning of the year that I had the attention of the people that were listening to me and reading my stuff. And so I've been saying that in 2009, there's no shame if you survive to January 1, 2010.
Oh, absolutely not.
You agree with that?
As a good friend of mine and a small business owner said when I asked him how his business was last month, he said, well, I'm flat, but flat's the new up.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so I've been encouraging my audience to not, I don't say that, John, and you don't say that as a way of capitulation. It's not like we're giving up. You and I aren't like that. But it's a way of getting, if you're prepared to look in the mirror and say, what I call the small business survival attitude, I'm going to win by surviving. If you're prepared to do that, then that means that you've taken ego off the table. So that's not in your way. You're not going to take, your business is not going to go down because of your ego. You're prepared now to look at anything. You're prepared to take all the sacred cows out of your business and focus on what it takes to make sure that you're still in business a year from now.
That's right. And some of us have gotten a bit sloppy over the last 5 or 6 years of real good times. And there are things that we think we can't live without that in this coming year we're going to find out we can.
2009 is the Alka-Seltzer we're having to take after the New Year's party, right?
Yep. Another fellow said to me, I said, you know, referred to the way he was doing business in 2006, and we saw something, you know, we saw that it wasn't going to last, but he kept functioning the same way. And he said, well, he says it was like being out at a party. You know you're going to feel rotten tomorrow, but you don't feel rotten yet.
But it is so darn much fun.
Yeah.
So let's talk about two things. Let's make sure as we go through this that you help us with some of your ideas on how do we make sure we survive this year. But as I was just talking to Rick Lepsinger, and as I've talked to others about this, and as I've mentioned myself, we also need to keep an eye on the horizon to make sure we see the earliest glimpses of a recovery so that we can start taking advantage of those things incrementally, right?
Yes, but, you know, my members are asking, and I'm really giving two-level advice right now. One is survival for the next 12 to maybe 18 months, and then things are going to be rough. Then there's going to be a technical recovery. The economy will start to expand again. But if you're being too short-sighted, if all you're doing is cutting with the anticipation of undoing all the cuts a year from now, I think you're making a mistake. The recovery is not going to be a 2002 to 2006 type boom.
Right.
When we came after 9/11, when we came back,
it's going to be more of a hockey stick kind of thing.
Or less of a hockey. I think it'll be slow. I think it'll be slow and a bit painful, and people are going to continue to be frugal and careful going forward.
Yeah.
It'll just be a different environment.
Yeah, I it probably should be. And there will be some things. Well, it doesn't matter. All the technical stuff is not really important. The important thing to point out, I think, and you're right, is that don't think that you're going to defer your gratification and you're going to tough it out for the next 12 months. And January 1, 2010, you know, it's happy days are here again. You're saying that January of 2010 might not look a whole lot different from July of 2009.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's a good caution for us all to think about, folks. But remember this as we go to a break. If it was easy, monkeys would be doing it. John Deeney and I will be right back. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Little Carl Edwards there. Welcome back. It's time to get started. Ben, back in with our good buddy John Deeney. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com, and you can find all the things that we do here right there. My blog, the Brain Trust, is listed there, including John Deeney, especially all the work that he's done with us over the years. My knowledge base, AskJim.biz, can be found from there. You can subscribe to my free newsletter. You can check out the archives and the articles. Lots and lots of stuff there. Hope you'll have it. Hope you use it to your advantage. And there is no barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in, hang out with us, use our stuff. John Deeney is our guest. He's the president of Management Performance Network, and the number one tab boards organization, which I'll get him to tell us about in just a little bit. John, we're talking about how to survive 09, how to make sure that we're prepared to take advantage of whatever opportunities are out there, but part of surviving is turning over every rock. It's certainly, absolutely, positively not staying in a cave, John.
No, absolutely not. You know, I've got a couple of people I'm working with that are trying to cut expenses to match falling sales, and that's a death spiral.
Yeah.
Eventually, you know, you get down below the point where you can sustain your business. You have to go out and get sales. And the joke that I've been telling constantly, and we have it posted in my office, is you don't have to outrun the bear. You know, if you remember the old joke of the two hikers in the woods, you only have to outrun the other hiker.
That's right.
and if there are other small business people, I'm sorry to say, that are not running their business as well as you are, and they'll go first. And if they go and you get their business, you'll be just fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cruel world out there. We're not all going to make it. The idea
Darwin would feel comfortable with what's going to be going on in the next.
He'll love 2009.
Yeah. But so what are some things we need to be doing, John?
Well, I think the most important part, I mean, there's lots of technical stuff about finance and, like Rick was talking about, dealing with your employees and stuff. But, you know, number one is looking at yourself, looking at your decision-making process. How are you approaching this? We just spoke before the break about short-sighted versus long-sighted. You know, short-sighted is there are functions in my company, good bookkeeping, tracking my inventory properly, basic sales and marketing, groundbreaking and cold calling work that I just won't do till things are better. That's foolish. You've got to find a way to do them with less, not stop doing them if you want to come out okay. You know, part of it is, you know, not getting wrapped up in the media doom and gloom. Bernie Madoff is a great example.
Mm-hmm.
I do not know anyone who is affected by Bernie Madoff, and I don't know if you do. It just really
I know people who know people, but that's as close. I'm two degrees of separation. But here's the thing, I don't need to be watching the front of his office building. I mean, his apartment building. I mean, what good does that do?
It's an interesting story, but it doesn't have a thing to do with your business or your customers.
That's right.
You know, so you make decisions based on data, not on the fact that some guy is screaming at 4 o'clock that the market went down another 3% today. That's not a base for decisions.
One of the things, John, that I'd like to get your thoughts on is a natural reaction for people to be thinking about a prospect or a customer even, and needing to go call on them, and immediately getting it in your head. Well, they're not going to do any business with me because they just laid off some people, or I know they're having a hard time, or we got this recession going on. They're going to throw me out of the building. They're not going to do any business with me. When the truth is they may be hungry for somebody to call on them.
I've seen that.
As my audience knows, John, I've been through many recessions, and I've called on people where I actually had that attitude. I actually had to make myself go in. I mean, I had to push myself in the door to make the call because I had convinced myself that nothing was going to happen. But I, through desperation or whatever, I got myself in the building, and they said, "I'm so glad you're here."
Great.
And I remember looking behind me like, "Are they talking to me?"
Yeah, you can get beaten down, but know your value proposition. They're looking to do the same things you're looking to do. They're looking to be more efficient, to save money, to have suppliers that take administrative load off of them. Walk in knowing what you're offering them to help them get through hard times.
Well, that's where I come up with my question, the magic question that I tell the people that they ought to be asking their customers. Just don't try to sell them anything. Just ask this question. This is the magic question for 2009, folks. What can I do to help you? What can we do? What can my organization, what can our organization, what can we do to help you? That's a magic question, John.
It's also a very difficult question for a prospect to throw you out the door on.
That's right. That's right. I promise you, a conversation will ensue after that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Cool. The other thing is managing to the bottom line. Too often, too many of us hit a bump in the road, like a dipping economy, and the first thing we throw out the door is the profit. We say, okay, well, we won't make any money for the next year or
mm-hmm.
two. You know, all you're doing is setting yourself up. You know, if it goes a quarter or two quarters longer than you anticipated, you're in deep trouble. You've got to maintain some profitability.
What you're saying is, now I want to talk about that profitability thing, because when I say we have to survive, that sounds like not making a profit, and that's not the case. But there's more than one place that profit shows up, folks. There's a gross profit and net profit. And you got to understand the difference in those two. John Denny's going to help us with that on the other side of these messages. 10 till, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. John Denny is our guest. He's with... His company is Management Performance Network. He's also an outstanding member of the TAB Board's organization. John, we need to know about all that.
Sure, Jim. The TAB Boards are a national organization. We're in about 170 cities now in North America. We put together small groups of business owners, just like your listeners, and they meet once a month with a professional facilitator to work on each other's businesses. These are small groups, 8 to 10 people, and they become your board. And their combined experience helps you run your company.
And you become their board.
Yes, absolutely. You contribute mm-hmm. and you get back. Usually we have about 200 years of experience around the table. And
organized
small,
peer
small business
discussions.
Owners don't have that.
Right. Organized peer discussions.
Right.
Whenever people ask me what I did when I was a consultant, I told them I worked with small business owners, and they said, "Well, how do you decide what size company you work with?" I said, "Well, these are people who don't have professional boards of directors, and that's the way most small businesses are."
Right, and Jim, in these times, it's not just TAB. I mean, I belong. Obviously, I have TAB boards, and I also have a board of TAB facilitators that I meet with regularly, and I have other groups and committees, but in these times, I went out and found people I knew that were smart on the economy and formed another group to sit and talk and brainstorm and compare ideas as to what was happening.
And, of course, you listen to the show, too. I mean, in addition.
Absolutely.
In, that's the cherry on top, right, John?
Yeah, it's my primary source.
Give us the website, please.
I actually have it intravenously from my iPod into my.
Okay, that's enough. Give us the website, John.
Our national site is thealternativeboard.com.
Right.
And if you want to find us in San Antonio, it's either MPNINC, MPNincorporated.com, or tabsanantonio.com
if you want to check that out.
What we're doing.
All right, John, I was talking about profits. We were talking about profits when we went to the break, and you were saying that you don't forget your profitability. And you weren't saying try to drive the bottom line so much as you were saying make sure that you don't sell your product so low you can't make the gross profit to pay your bills. That was more what you were saying, right?
I mean,
obviously we want to drive the bottom line, but that's not the survival attitude, I think. The gross profit, that's what we got to drive, right?
Well, it's... Sure, the gross, there has to be a net, too. I mean, both.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to be able to pay the bills, but there has to be something left over. You can't just skim through because there'll be another bump in the road. There'll be a vendor who hikes a price on you. There'll be something that happens where you're going to need a little breathing room. And, you know, profit is your breathing room.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have, you know, if you're already at your absolute limit and your only choice every time you hit... an unhappy event is to go deeper into losses, you're not going to make it.
Yeah. The main thing that I want to make sure, though, obviously, you know, I'm no resister of profits. I mean, I profits are great. I'll be the first to say that. You got to have them, as you say. But I want to make sure people don't get hung up managing for profits and they take their eye off the cash. Because in 2009... cash has never been more king.
Absolutely. And excuse me, I'm sorry, Jim. You know, I'm trying to convince people that cash flow is not cash.
Yeah, explain that to you.
Well, we've got folks that, you know, they're cash flowing and they keep looking and going, well, you know, I'm ahead. After I take depreciation and amortization, you know, I have cash left over at the end of the month. But it's just left over at the end of the month. If you can get your hands on a lump of cash, you know, I just had a client sell a piece of property, and he had a few $100,000. And he said, I'm going to go over and pay off this asset over here. I said, why? You have good financing terms.
Yeah, right.
And he said, yeah, but look, I'll save $3,000 a month on that. That's a terrific deal. I said, it's not as terrific as having a couple $100,000 in the bank.
Right.
Because if you have to, you can use that money to make the next several years' payments on
that. And if we have another bump in the road and he pays that other property off, that bump may also preclude him from getting financing on that property.
Right. He's not going to get more money back.
That's right.
Right now.
Right.
If you've got your hands on cash, hold it.
Once you've got good financing on a piece of property or something like that, this is not a good time to be paying it off if you've got cash. You're exactly right. You got to hold on to that cash. Hey, John, give us the website one more time.
Nationally, thealternativeboard.com. You can find us in San Antonio at tabsanantonio.com.
Hey, John, thanks for being here. Good job today. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks a lot, Jim.
Let's have a good 2009 together.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Yeah. John Dini, ladies and gentlemen, D-I-N-I, if you're Googling him. Find him in a lot of places. He's the best, and he'll be back, I promise. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. I want to remind you, today be guilty of committing a random act of kindness.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.